So this morning we're going to be talking about missions and going and doing. Thank you. And so I want you guys to see all throughout Scripture. Now, obviously, we don't have time to do all the verses that tell us to go, but we do. I do want to look at some verses, and I want you to just see what is required of us and what we are called to do. You know, so many times we talk about we love Jesus, we talk about how we love God and so on and so forth, but we don't ever put feet to the words. Amen? Am I the only one that ever sees that? We don't put feet to the words. And so this whole month we are going to focus on putting feet to the words. Putting feet into action so that, listen, how will they hear except for somebody preach? How are they going to hear except for somebody goes and tells them? You know, usually we look at foreign missions, and I did not get my pictures done so that you guys could see some of Korea. I actually have a real good excuse. This week was a little bit of a tough week for me. And so I did not know, some of you knew from Wednesday night that I have an issue with my stomach, that it's like raw, the nerves in it are raw from, and I didn't know why, and everybody's like, well, you need to go to the doctors, you know, because it hurts really bad for anything to touch it. And I'm like, but here's the crazy thing, it's not red, there's no rash, there's nothing there. So I'm going to go to the doctor and go, I got a problem. And he's going to go, what? And I can't see anything, right? So I just kind of let it go. Well, then we did some research, found out that kidney stones can cause that. And so I spent my week passing kidney stones. Anybody ever, this is personal, but you can raise your hand, right? Yeah, okay, yeah, some people are like, I ain't raising my hand about nothing. Well, I'm not afraid to tell you that I wanted to cry like a baby, curl up in the fetal position and just lay there and pray for Jesus to come quickly. But Jesus didn't make it, but the stone did. And so I gave birth to a beautiful little rhino stone with horns and saved it too, you know, just put it away, and this is my trophy, and horrible, horrible time, and I'm gonna tell you, it was bad. So at any rate, I didn't get a whole lot done dealing with that, and then of course we're trying to get ready for missions for next week. We got guest speakers coming in, so I apologize, but I did save the pictures. We will get to them eventually. So, but what I want to focus on this week is not kidney stones, but local missions. Amen. And did I miss something? Okay, here we go. You guys love how I'm so transparent, huh? Because at the end, I'm going to have people come up and go, Pastor, really? We don't need to hear all that. But I want you to know. Kevin Dunnigan has them all the time. Difference between he and I is he goes to the hospital like a baby, and I don't. I just lay into my bedroom like a baby. So at any rate. Sorry, brother. I had to do it to you. All right. We're going to be in Isaiah chapter 6. Let's get on to the scriptures. Amen. Isaiah chapter 6 is where we're going to be, but I want to look at some scriptures, and I want you to look at the scriptures where we are told to go. The reason that we are saved is so we can go to heaven, but then the minute that we're saved, there is a requirement of us, and the requirement of us is to go, to not be silent, to not be quiet, but to go. I want you to look in Mark 16:15. These are all going to be up there, so don't try to keep up because we're going to be blistering through these. So sound people, hold on. This is going to be a ride. Mark 16:15. And he said to them, go, where? In all the world, and do what? Preach the gospel to every creature, every person. Mark 1:38. But he said to them, let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also. And so was he saying, go, where? Into the next town. And so, you know, guys, listen, we don't just reach our neighborhood, but we go into the next town. Amen. And some of you live in the next town. You need to go. And then we look in Mark 3:14. In Mark 3:14 it says, then he appointed 12 that they might be with him and that he might send them out to preach. You got to go. In Matthew 28:18, he says in Matthew 28:18, and Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. And then 28:19, which I forgot to give them, my mistake, he says, go. Go. I have the authority, and I'm sending you out, and you need to go. And so Matthew 10:5, I may have done this to a couple. We're going to find out. In 10:5, these 12 Jesus sent out and commanded them, saying, do not go into the way of the Gentiles and do not enter the city of Samaritans. And he says, but here's what I want you to do. I want you to go. And he sends them to various places. You know, guys, sometimes we need to go into various places. And it's so interesting. I remember one time I had witness to this guy, and his marriage was on the rocks, and there was some struggle, and so I went out to visit him, and when I went out to visit him, his wife was home, and I said, hey, where's Daryl? And she said, I'll give you one guess, and he was at Daddy Rabbit's Biker Bar. Now, Daddy Rabbit's is a tough bar. As a matter of fact, that's where my brother-in-law was shot and killed 2 years ago, was at the very same bar. And I knew the bar because I had been there on many occasions, so I knew what it was like. And I went, he's where? And she told me. So I went to the bar, and I go in the bar. And when I went into the bar, and he looked at me, and I looked at him, and I go, dude, what are you doing? Now I'm making a scene. Everybody's looking. And he's like, man, this is so unfair. I go, what do you mean it's unfair? He goes, you shouldn't be in here. And I go, me? You're the one drinking. You shouldn't be in here, right? And so sometimes we go places where it's really not the most comfortable place to go, but sometimes God tells us to go. And we need to do that. In Matthew 11:1, he says, now it came to pass when Jesus finished commanding his 12 disciples that he departed from there to teach and to preach in their cities. Listen, we got to go. Where are we going? We got to go where the people are. Where are the people? Everywhere. They're in the cities. They're in the towns. We need to go. Because if we don't go, we don't baptize because people don't get saved. I'm telling you guys, we need to go. Luke 9:1-2. Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power. He gave them power. Are we empowered? Yeah. We read the scriptures that he says, I have not given you the spirit of fear, but of power and boldness and a sound mind. To do what? To go. Guys, we got to go. We have to go. How many, we're not done with the church yet, and we're not done in here because you're going to see a whole bunch of stuff next week where we get finished. But how many were kind of curious of all these wires hanging up, right? Have you noticed, though, where they're coming out of? The church. And you're going to see next week where they go to. We got to go. And that's what he's telling us. You got to go. But look what he says. He says, then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. He sent them to preach. He says, I've equipped you. Now go. You know, connecting point, our whole goal is to do what? To equip you to do what? To go. Not just sit here. Not just to come in and get spiritually fat, spiritually obese. So you sit there and you're like, oh, this is my own little world and it's so good. You got to go because people are dying every day. They're dying and they're not going to heaven. The majority we know because narrow is the gate. Wide is the way to hell. Luke 24:46. In Luke 24:46, then he said to them, thus it is written, thus it is necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. And then it goes on. He says, so that they would go. My fault, ladies. I didn't give you this scripture. He goes on and says, to go. We learned that last week, didn't we? To go. Jesus said on the third day he rose. And then what did he tell them? Go. Go. Go do what? Go teach. Go preach. Go tell the people. Romans 15:15-16. Look what this says. Nevertheless, brethren, I have written more boldly to you on some points as reminding you because of the grace given to me by God that I might be a minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God that the offering of the Gentiles might be acceptable, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. He got saved so he could do what? Go. Are we getting the idea here of what's required of us? I'm just kind of curious. If not, I got more. Romans 10:14-17. How then shall they call on him whom they've not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Guys, we're called to go. How are people going to be saved? I want you to look at Romans 1:14-15. I am a debtor both to Greeks and to barbarians. The Greeks and the barbarians would be the educated and the uneducated. Okay? I am a debtor both to Greeks and barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome also. He says, I'm going to go everywhere and preach to everyone. Who are we to determine? I hear all the time people go, oh, you know, man, there's no hope for them. Man, if you'd asked my wife's mother and father, they would have told you the same thing about me. Seriously, because they told her. Don't you think you need to just stay away from him? Man, we can't decide who's going to be saved. The only thing we can do is be faithful to go and to preach the word to the Greeks, to the barbarians, to the wise, to the unwise. We are not the ones to make the decision on who is going to be saved. Amen? Acts 1:8. Look here in Acts 1:8. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. How many here have the Holy Spirit? Amen? Yeah, so you receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be what? Witnesses. Where? Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and everywhere else. Start in your own home and we go out. Listen, this is a requirement. We are called to go. You know, we're so happy that we're saved, but we don't want to tell anyone else. Acts 9:20 through 22. It says, immediately he preached to Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. Then all who heard were amazed and said, is this he who destroyed those who called on the name in Jerusalem and has come here for the purpose so that he might bring them bound to the chief priest? Talking about Saul, who is Paul. As soon as he got saved, what did he do? Immediately he went out and started telling people. Why? Because he understood the life change within him. Listen, Paul wasn't morally bankrupt. Paul had morals. Paul, that wasn't the issue for Paul. He wasn't even poor. He was rich. But here's what he understood, man. When he received salvation of the Lord, he understood that it was too much and too good to keep to himself. And immediately he went out and he started preaching Christ. Let's look here in Acts 8:4. Therefore, those who were scattered went everywhere. Doing what? Preaching the word. And this was, listen, in this part of Acts is when they were oppressed. I mean, listen, they were losing their home. They were losing their businesses. They were kicked out of their families, forced out of their cities. And what did they do? They still went everywhere preaching the word. Guys, what is our focus? What is most important to us? I mean, really, think about this. What is most important to you? Is it your job? Is it the things that you have? Is it your pursuit of whatever you're pursuing? Or is it God and the lost? Man, I think of Joe who just got baptized this morning. He heard the gospel. And he heard the gospel. And he heard the gospel. And his son the whole time is hearing the gospel. And then his son gets saved, and his son's immediate response is, pray for my dad. Pray for my dad. Man, if only we would have that burden, that when moment we got saved, we were like, pray for my friend, pray for my family, pray for my coworker, pray for my neighbor, that they might get saved. And then we get saved, but what do? We don't grow. I was having a discussion with somebody earlier, and I said, who is consumed with some things in their life. And I said, tell me your typical day. And so they told me their typical day. And the only thing that happened in their typical day with God was, well, I try to pray in the morning. That tells me you're not too successful. How do we change that? Well, we got to put God in. We got to put different thoughts in our heads so we can act differently, speak differently, we can see differently, and we can do differently. Because if you don't put anything different up here, this will never change, and neither will your pursuit of what you're pursuing, and God will always be left on the back burner. Garbage in, garbage out. God in, God out. It never changes. What are you putting in? Or are you trying to pray, trying to read? My pastor used to say, if you're trying, you're lying. Right? Because that's our way of making us feel better and getting pastor off your back. I just, so you know, until I go to heaven, I don't go nowhere. 1 Corinthians 2:4-5 says, and my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, even though isn't that what we try to do? Because we don't want to offend anybody. So we don't use the gospel or we don't use scriptures. We try to use human wisdom. It's so funny because As I was looking, I've had several sermons sent to me because we were talking about some different stuff coming up later in the year, and so I had several people sending me sermons, and I'd get them and I'd look at them because, you know, there are times where I steal people's outlines. Amen? It's out there, so really it's not stealing. It's like, here, it's yours, so I take them. And there are times where I've preached other, not their messages, but I've used their outlines. And so as they're sending me these messages, they're like, oh, you got to hear this one. Oh, you got to listen to this one. And so I'll go on YouTube, and you know what's blowing me away? Is 95% of the sermons that are being sent to me are full of illustrations and poems and feel good. And I'm like, where's the gospel? Where's the word of God? We give a scripture and then boom, we run off on these tangents. And as I'm reading it, I'm like, this is crazy. It's so boring. I mean, somebody shoot me. I can't take this anymore. Give me scripture. But what do? He says here, you know what? I don't go out and tell people with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Holy of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Why are we holding on to the things of people? Why are we so lazy to read the scriptures? I was talking to somebody this past week, and I said, hey, tell me the things you struggle with most in your life. And one of them, the word was lazy. And I go, lazy? You don't strike me as lazy. I'm lazy. And I went, okay, I'm not going to argue with you. You're lazy. All right, so what are you lazy in? And then, I'm lazy in reading the word of God. And so I'll fight myself for an hour and a half, and then I finally give in to read the word of God, and I feel so much better. Why do we do that? And I'm like, wow, you just wasted an hour and a half. You weren't lazy. You were in battle. But you didn't get anywhere. You still ended up. Listen, we need the power of God. So just surrender to it. We don't need man's wisdom. Ephesians 2:17. And he came and preached peace to you who were afar off and to those who were near. Where did he preach the gospel? Everywhere. Guys, how important is the gospel? 2 Timothy 4:2 through 5. Preach the word. Preach the word. Listen, you guys go, hey, he's yelling. Yes! Do you know why? What's after preach the word? Exclamation. He's not going, hey, I really think you ought to share the gospel. He's going, preach the word. Why? Because it's the word of God that changes lives. It's the word of God that pierces the heart. It's the word of God that changes your direction. It's the word of God that brings peace and contentment. It's the word of God that allows you to share the word of God, because it's the word of God that has touched your life and altered all things within you. Preach the word. Be ready when? In season and out of season. In other words, always be ready. Look, convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and what? Teaching. Teaching what? The word. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Do you feel like you're living in that day? But we still need to preach the word. But according to their own desires, because they have itching ears. They will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist. And then he says, and by the way, how many know what an evangelist is? An evangelist is somebody that goes around and preaches the word. And then he says this. Are you ready? Look, here's what he says. Fulfill your ministry. Fulfill your ministry. What is your ministry? You know what I love? I ask people, what's your ministry? And I get this. Oh. Then you know what that tells me? You're not preaching the word. You're not doing the work of an evangelist. You're not doing what God called you to do. Fulfill your ministry. Preach the word. Now I want to show you, that was the intro. Now let's get to the sermon. Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6. I want to show you something here. I want to show you a man's heart. I want to show you a man's attitude. I want to show you the difference when somebody realizes who they are. Because, you know, some of us, we don't realize who we are. We still think, well, I'm a good person. And I'm not saying you're a bad person. Well, you know, I can't do certain things for certain reasons. So we have all these excuses, and then we end it with, well, I'm a good person. But, you know, when you really catch who you are, according to who Christ is, who God is, compared to him, not to your neighbor. Because that's really where we get our definition of being a good person, right? We compare ourselves to somebody who's less than us. Because that always makes us feel better, amen? How many are guilty of that at times? At times, at times. Come on, who's not playing today? Everybody is guilty of that at times. I want you to look here in Isaiah 6:1. In Isaiah 6:1, it says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne high and lifted up, and a train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim. Now, seraphim are angels. There are two types of angels, seraphims and cherubims. Yeah, somebody's learning. Seraphims are those who honor God. Cherubims are they're the protectors. They're the warrior soldiers, if you will. They're the soldiers, if you will. So he says, above it stood seraphim. Each one had six wings. With two, he covered his face. With two, he covered his feet. With two, he flew. And one cried to another and said, holy, holy, holy. By the way, that holy, 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 that is demonstrating the Trinity, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. The three, they're holy. So when you hear holy, 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 now you know why there's three. Because it's three in one. Talking about the Trinity. So he cries, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. So here's what happens. Isaiah sees God in all of his glory. Well, what happened when Moses wanted to see God? What did God tell him? You can't see me in my glory because you will die. And all throughout Scripture, we see where people have wanted to see God, and it's like, you can't see God, you will die. And so what happens is Isaiah sees God, and he says, woe is me, for I am undone. I'm going to die. I'm not holy. I'm going to die. See, all of a sudden, what happens is you see Isaiah realize who he is. He got his true identity. Oh, my goodness. I am. Look here. Because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. I am a sinner. I am low down. I am not deserving. I am not worthy to live. I have seen the King. I have seen God. And now I'm going to die. And he just knew he was done. But look what God does. See, because here's the thing. Isaiah's not going to do a whole lot until his heart changes and he realizes who he is, and then he realizes what God actually gave him. Look here in verse 6. Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having his hand a live coal, which he had taken the tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth with it and said, behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away and your sin purged. You see what just happened? He was touched by God. And his iniquity was taken away. His sins were purged. He's no longer held guilty for unclean lips. He's no longer held guilty for being a sinner. He has been forgiven. He has been released. He has been touched by God. And anytime you've been touched by God, you've been cleansed. Because, you know, we can't go to the Father, because sin, the Father can have nothing to do with sin. That's why Jesus died on the cross for our sins, to shed his blood so we are washed in his blood and presented clean to the Father. Without the blood of Jesus, we're not washed. Therefore, we can't see the Father, which means you don't go to heaven. Isaiah here is touched by God, and the angel says, listen, and he touched my mouth with it, and behold, this has touched your lips, your iniquity is taken away, and your sins purged. Now let's fast forward to chapter 61. Fast forward to chapter 61, Isaiah 61. In Isaiah 61, let's look here in verses 1 through 3. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. Who's talking? Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Wow, that's different than what we read back in chapter 6, isn't it? Whoa, I'm undone. I am condemned. I know I'm going to die. And now he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Guys, you know one of the biggest reasons we don't tell people about Jesus is because we don't allow the Spirit of the Lord to work in our lives. We don't allow the Spirit of the Lord, when he comes upon us, we're like, oh, thank you for the blessing, thank you for the touch, thank you for the peace, I'll keep it to myself. And we don't allow God to work, because then God goes, hey, here's what I want you to do. I want you to do what I've just told you through all these verses. I want you to go. And we go, oh, I can't do that. I can't. God, I'm shy. How many have heard that? Okay, how many use that one? I'm shy. I hate that excuse. If you are shy and that's your excuse, please, when you talk to me, find another excuse. I don't want to hear that one. I am shy. How about Moses? God said, Moses, I want you to go. And Moses goes, I stutter. I can't. Man, here he is talking to God, the creator that created him. And he gives him a lousy excuse. I stutter. I can't serve you. Can you imagine if Moses would have said, God, I'm all in. I'm all in. I'm all in. Just fix my stuttering problem, if you would, to make my job a lot easier. What do you think God would have done? He would have fixed his stuttering problem. Listen, what did Solomon say? When Solomon became king, he said, God, all I asked you to do is give me the wisdom to lead your people. And what did God give him? Wisdom. Wisest man in all the earth. Until he did what? Disobey God and allow women from other beliefs and that believed in other gods to come into his life, and then it wrecked him. Didn't seem to be too wise on his own, did he? 700, 1,000 wives and 700 concubines or whatever. That man was crazy. He wasn't wise. Just kind of saying. Back in chapter 6, don't go there. I'm just going to real quick cover this. But back in chapter 6, when God says, he touched his life and he changed his life. And we see that here in 61, Isaiah's life was changed. But back in chapter 6, verse 8, it went on. Isaiah says, also, I heard the Lord. So not only was he touched and purged, but he says, also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and whom will go for us? By the way, the word us is the Trinity. It's the Trinity. The Father's going, who's going to go for us, Jesus and Holy Spirit? Who can we send? Think about the question just for a moment. Who can we trust enough? Who can we depend upon? Who's reliable? Who can we send? That's an amazing question. And Isaiah, without hesitation, in verse 9, in verse 8, he says, after the Lord says, and who will go for us? Isaiah said, then I said, here am I, send me. wait a minute, Isaiah, who's going, I'm unclean, I have unclean lips, I deserve to die. Now he's, because he's been touched by God. How many here have been touched by God for salvation? If you've been saved, you've been touched by God. And Isaiah's going, here am I, send me, hey, over, here, yeah, here, look, here am I, send me. Can you imagine Isaiah? I'm just thinking, man, because he's got to be excited at this point. I'm saved. I've been touched by God. I'm not condemned. I'm not going to hell. God has touched me. My lips are no longer unclean. I'm pure. Send me. This is how I'm going to say thank you. Think about that for a minute. Here am I. Send me. I'm glad you guys put those cables up really good. And he says, here am I. Send me. And then in 9, and he, being God, said, Go. That's what he said, go. Man, who are we? We're nobody until we've been touched by God. And then we need to have the attitude of being a servant. And so then we jump to 61:1. And then Isaiah says, hey, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. He touched me. He's empowered me. Look here, because the Lord has anointed me to do what? To preach. Isaiah got it, guys. Isaiah got it. Israel was going downhill. They were going downhill fast. And God needed somebody to go and tell Israel what was going on and what he needed them to do. God needed somebody to go tell Israel, listen, here's your condition. Because we already know their condition. Because what did Isaiah say? He said, listen, I am unclean and so are those that I hang out with. So are my people. They're unclean too. He got it. And all of a sudden, God touches him. We see here in 61, he is anointed. I'm going to tell you, anybody in here that has received Jesus Christ as their Savior, you are anointed. Why? What is your anointing? Your anointing, anointing is to go out and do the work of an evangelist and fulfill your ministry. You are anointed. I think the problem with most of us is we don't believe it. We don't believe it. Or we are so self-consumed with us and our desires and what we want. We don't want that life. So God, you can have it. I'm going to do what I want to do, the way I want to do it, when I want to do it. But I do appreciate salvation. Don't let me seem like I don't care, but I don't care enough to tell somebody. That wasn't Isaiah. Isaiah says, listen, man, he said, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives. Listen to what happens when Christ is delivered into your family, into your friends, into your home, into your workplace. They are, listen, they're captive right now. They are prisoners. And Isaiah says, man, I give them the word. They get liberty. They're freed. That brokenheartedness is healed. Guys, you know what's going to heal our society? It's not wisdom of men. It's not, or surely not, our government. The Word of God. That's it. It's the Word of God. What healed you? The Word of God. How many of you were distraught and in disarray and, man, your mind was just eat up with the things of the world. You couldn't focus on anything. Man, you were diseased from Satan and society. And Jesus comes along and he touches you and he anoints you. And then all of a sudden you see clearly now. Remember the blind man in John chapter 9? I was once blind, but now I see. Why could he see? He was touched by Jesus. The difference that God makes in our life. But why don't we make the difference for God? He goes on to proclaim the liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound. Man, I think about how I was in prison before I got saved. How many else was in prison before you got saved? Oh my goodness. the mental prison, the spiritual prison, the physical prison, the financial prison, like all these prisons, because we didn't even know how to think or get ourselves out, because we couldn't get ourselves out. And man, God comes along and he touches us and we hear the word of God. I'm going to tell you, it's because somebody preached the gospel that I got saved and turned my whole life around. Turned my whole life around. How many here, somebody preached the gospel and you got saved and all of a sudden your whole life changed? Your marriage changed, your job changed, your attitude changed, your outlook changed, everything about you changed. And then your friends come up and they go, "You're not the same." You're right. And for the friends that come up to you and went, "We can't hang out anymore because we don't have anything in common." If they weren't coming to you saying that, you were going to them saying that, amen? Why? Because you were changed. I don't hang out with any of the friends that I mean, obviously because they're 700 miles apart. But prior to that, man, when I got saved, all of a sudden, I wasn't hanging out with any of the friends that I hung out with before. Do you know why? Because the only thing we had in common was drinking and drugs. What else was there? When I got saved and I went to them, and I did, I went to each and every one, man, when I got saved, it was within a week I was talking to them. I said, "Man, you're not going to believe this. I went to church. I gave my life to Jesus." And then, of course, you get that. "Are you crazy?" "No, dude, let me tell you what happened." And so I started telling them, they go, "You're not talking the same." "It's because I'm not the same. You're not acting the same because I'm not the same. You're not the same guy that we were hanging out with last week. It's because I'm a new creature." And I tell them about Jesus, and they didn't want to hear it. What they did was they didn't want to get out of prison. They wanted to stay bound. You know, some of us, even though we know Jesus, we're still choosing prison. What is wrong with us? That's why you're not telling anybody else, because you've not experienced the freedom that God wants to give you, because you won't let go of the past. You're holding on to it. You're staying bound. Woe is me. Constantly crying. I don't know what's wrong with me. I'm going to tell you, you're not giving Jesus you yet. When you die to yourself and you live unto him, your life will be different. Somebody say amen. Most people don't want to die to themselves because it's actually going to cost you something. Or we don't like change. Oh my goodness. If I do this, this is going to change. I can't change because it's going to tear my world up. We need change. What do we need to change? We need to change this. Look here in 2. He says, "To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes." Look what he's doing. Give them beauty for ashes. I'm going to take what is nasty and smelly and destroyed in your life, and I'm going to give you beauty in place of it. And yet, God says, "I want to do the same thing for you." And you know what? We say, "Nah, I'm kind of used to these ashes. They're nasty and smelly, but it's cool. I'll just keep them." And look what he's saying. "I'm going to give you beauty for ashes." God says, "I'll take all of that away. The oil of joy for mourning. I'm going to give you joy so you'll quit mourning, you'll quit crying, you'll quit complaining, you'll quit being distraught because my life isn't what it should be." Well, no, if you're not holding on to God, it's not going to be. Because you're going to have the ways of the world. You're going to think for yourself. You want to do for yourself. You want to be for yourself. You can't do that. Isaiah says, "I'll go, send me. Because I'm not the same. I've been anointed and I got to tell somebody." He didn't make his life about him. He made it about everyone else. Look here at 3, he goes on. "The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness." The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. These are the things that Isaiah says that when you receive Christ, we're going to swap this out. It's amazing, guys, what God wants to give us. And Isaiah says, "You know what? I'm going to go tell the world what God has to offer." The majority of the people today, they just take what God has to offer and forgets the world. Boy, if we would have the mindset of Isaiah, amen. And then he says in verse 3, 61:3, he says, I'm going to start with 3, "To console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified." be called trees of righteousness. Trees. Sturdy. Strong. Rooted. Trees. That's what we could be called. Granted, in here, he's talking specifically to Israel, but I'm telling you, it doesn't change with the us. I was doing some reading, and the trees, oh, wow, what are they called? They're 300 feet tall. They're sequoias. The interesting thing about these sequoias, because you would think as tall as they are, that they would need deep roots like an oak, right? But they don't. Their roots are more like a pine, if you will. And you go, wow, how can such a tree, so big, so tall, stand if their roots aren't deep? Here's what keeps them alive. It keeps them strong and standing. They actually intertwine with each other. The roots connect to the next tree and intertwines with that, and it connects to the next one and intertwines with that, and connects to the next one and intertwines with that, and all of a sudden they all become one. And they're strong. Can you imagine if we all got on the same page as Isaiah and we became one? What could come out of the church? Can you imagine just for a moment? I can. I could see it too. I could see the difference. Because I see the difference that we make in lives today in this church. I was so blessed. Louisa just blessed my soul today telling me about Tara. That we actually had touched her life back, how many years ago was that? Was that in Robert Parker? So that had to be 7 years ago. 6.5. Almost 8. So that was toward the beginning of, wow, that's right, because we're 10 years old this year. Think about that. We're 10 years old this year. 8 years ago, we got to touch Tara and her life. And in January, she gave her life to Christ. In January, 8 years later, gave her life to Christ and then gets baptized. What gets sweeter than that? Not much. Think about the difference that we make when we come together, we stay together, we do the work of an evangelist, we fulfill our ministry. We think about somebody else other than ourselves. We reach out. We touch the lives of those who are lost and struggling and hurt. We give them joy for their mourning. We take their ashes and give them beauty. We take them from the clutches of death and give them life. That's what this whole month is about, guys. Understanding how important it is to take your salvation to your neighbor, to your family, to the lost. Are they going to ridicule you? Yes. Jesus already said, they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. Don't worry about it. Just keep going. You look up in Ephesians chapter 6, the metal of armor, all the armor that God gives us, all the things that God gives us, and it's always frontal. There's nothing for our back. Why? Because we don't turn. We don't retreat. We don't allow them, because they don't understand, and so they're going to attack us. We don't allow their lack of understanding and their lack of knowledge, because they're spiritually ignorant or spiritually discerned, to cause us to turn our back and run because they offended us. No, we're going to hang in there. We're going to do what Isaiah did. God has touched me. He has anointed me. He's empowered me. And you got to know. And I don't care what you do, I'm going to keep telling you. Wow, if we would only do that. If we would come together like the sequoias or the redwoods or whatever they are, and they intertwine, and man, they're strong and they're huge and they're big. Because they're together. I remember reading in the scriptures where God tells Jesus and the Holy Spirit, He says, look, let us go down and confound their language to disperse them from Babel. Thank you. I can only think of Babylon. I knew that wasn't it. From the Tower of Babel, because you know what? Here's what he said about them. He said, they have all come together, and when they work together, there is nothing they can't achieve. Think about that. And of course, what they were trying to achieve was ungodly, so God said, let me go down there and disperse that. Can you imagine if we all come together with the attitude of Isaiah? Oh my goodness. You want to talk about the Holy Spirit moving in this place? You want to talk about people getting saved and people getting baptized and their lives changes and marriages coming back together and those that are weak become strong? Can you imagine the difference that we would make if we would all come together with one agenda, Isaiah's agenda? And we'd go after our loved ones and we'd go after those who are in prison. We'd go after those who are at work. We'd go after the neighbor. We'd go after everyone we knew. Wow. I just think the difference that we can make. The prayer ministry, where are we at? You guys would have to, you wouldn't be able to hold them all in here. Wouldn't be able to hold them all in here because people would come in here and on their knees and praying and begging God to use them and then begging God to empower them when they go out. I pray that we get the attitude of Isaiah. And that we come together and we go out. And next week, you're going to see where all the going out goes to and beyond. Are we going to make the difference? It's a simple decision. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for today. Lord, I thank you for your word. Thank you for Isaiah, Lord, who recognized that he was undeserving, he was sinful. But yet, Lord, he also recognized that when you touched him, he wasn't the same. You anointed him. You empowered him. Lord, help us today. Those of us who say we are your children, Lord, help us to understand that you have also touched us and anointed us and empowered us to go out and make the difference. In our home, in our hometown, in the surrounding towns, the cities, the states, and the world. Lord, help us to grab hold of your vision, your desire, your passion, and your love for the lost. Lord, help us to grab hold of that. Lord, help us to do what Isaiah did, to say, here am I, send me. Lord, help us to fulfill the Great Commission. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.